Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Those words from John's letter. Appropriate words for today, because what we've been doing in our service of baptism is all about love. It's the love which Henny and Jennifer have for Hendrik, and which all the family have for him and for one another. But that love's shown today by bringing the child to be baptized, when all the family can be here before some go back home to South Africa, asking godparents who will support him. So all of that is about the kind of love that we share with one another in our families. But today's also about the love which God has for us, which starts from the beginning of our lives, even before we were born. It's that Psalm, was it 139, that God knew us even in the womb. And even when we're too young to understand for ourselves, we can be welcomed into God's family, the church. So love in the family, love that God has for us, and the love that we have for one another in our families, but also as friends, as members of families, members of the church. We find friendship and warmth amongst one another. And all that's important, because baptism isn't just about ourselves as individuals. At our baptism, we're baptized into a community, the community of the church. In this United Reformed Church, people who have come to faith as adults can profess that faith and be baptized, people who can make their own choice. But we are also very glad to baptize babies and small children, little babies like Hendrik, older children, but babies as we've done this morning, because we recognise that baptism is a sign of God's love and grace. As I've said, that God can welcome us into his church, his community, his family, whatever word you find helpful for the church. He can welcome us even before we're old enough to learn about him and to understand for ourselves. That understanding can come later. Hendrik's parents have promised to help him to learn about God as he grows up. And as time goes on, the godparents will also offer their support. And we as a congregation have promised to help and to support them in any way we can. And it's great that they'll be with us for a while so we can see Hendrik as he grows. And then he eventually will be able to make his own choices about faith when he's old enough. The Apostle Paul, writing that letter to the Corinthians, describes the church as like a body with all sorts of different parts, limbs and organs, but all linked together into something which works as one. And he's talking about a diverse group of people, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and people with different gifts and skills. As we know, Paul wrote about the church nearly 2,000 years ago, but it's still true today. When we look around us in the church here, we're very fortunate here to have people with all sorts of different gifts, particularly creative ones, and all of us with very different personalities. And when we think of our partner churches and of our Christian sisters and brothers around the globe, all very diverse, some of them here with us today, people here from South Africa, from a different part of the world, reminding us that the church is bigger than us and stretches right across the world. At Synod yesterday, we welcomed Bishop Rodwell Chomba from the Usaka Presbytery of the United Church of Zambia. And our Synod has a link with that church. And Bishop Chomba is here for a couple of weeks, going around and visiting certain churches and taking part in activities. And he's actually going to be preaching at our church at Marston next Sunday. Anybody who's free, you're very welcome. Another reminder of what binds us together, a Christian people across the world. And he spoke about unity. This idea of a community of people being like a body with limbs and organs wasn't new to Paul. He didn't invent that idea, apparently. It was one that was familiar in the ancient world. But Paul takes it a bit further. because he says that we in the church are not just any old body, we are Christ's body, bound to each other and to Christ. It's Jesus Christ who draws us together, involves us in his work in the world. Christ has no body now on earth but yours, as an ancient prayer puts it. It's often said it's St. Teresa, though I think that's, we're not sure about that. But the link between us, all these diverse people who make up Christ's church, the link is our baptism. We're all baptized into one body, Paul says. We're bound together through the work of God's Spirit, the power of God working within us in our lives as our faith develops. And through his baptism, Hendrik becomes part of this body, this diverse family brought together by God. There's another, I think, important aspect of the image of the church as a body. The fact that we're all different, with different strengths and weaknesses, is not an accident. Not just something that we put up with, but wouldn't it be better if everybody was like me? Paul says it's vital that we're all different. All are valued and needed. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. We all need each other. We all have something to contribute. And what we contribute is important. There's that list of gifts in the church at Corinth. Here we might say some lead the worship, some do flowers, some do the finance, some are good at hospitality, some share their artistic gifts, some are good organisers, some are good at friendship, some at administration, some at technology. The list is endless, really. But the last sentence of those verses I just read is very striking, I think. The members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Hendrik is one of the weaker members of God's church at the moment. He can't care for himself. Others do that. He can't participate in what we're doing, except perhaps to make his presence felt at times. And good for him. But he's indispensable, that verse says. He and children like him are the future, not just of the church, but of the world. In our churches across Oxford, and I'm sure in other places too, we have a number of very elderly members who can't be with us. They also are weaker members. They can't care for themselves very well, perhaps. Some are in nursing homes, and others care for them. They again can't easily participate in what we're doing. But they are indispensable too. They are part of us, and they have made their contribution, helped build up the life of the church and its witness down the years. And indeed, they may have a ministry of prayer. A Roman Catholic colleague of mine at the prison tells of an elderly priest of her acquaintance, a very incapacitated by age and by illness. But if she wants prayer for anyone, she rings him up. He spends his days in prayer for others. The weaker members are indispensable, and they have their part to play. So baptized into God's family, the weak and those who are stronger, the future and those who have gone before us, people here in this place, people we know intimately, people we've never met in far-flung parts of the world. That's the church, the body, the family, the community which has welcomed Hendrik this morning. And it's a family, a community bound together by love, the love of God, which we can see in our own love and support for one another. So may God continue to bless us, each one, and to keep us in his love and care. Amen.